As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
3rd and 16, Mahomes rolling out, looking, firing, intercepted.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown!
Happy birthday, Cooper
Machine. Touchdown!
Devontae Smith, 46 yards.
The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59.
How good does this feel, knowing that you beat the Chiefs who beat you 2 years ago?
Yeah, all glory to God.
It can't be about me, it has to be about we.
You can't be great without the greatness of others.
Today's guest, Fox Sports NFL analyst, Mark Schlereth. Complete Super Bowl 59 recap, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich
Eisen. Oh, that's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show back in Los Angeles after a fun week in New Orleans, Louisiana. I am your humble host sitting here on the Roku Sports Channel, which we love to be on every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time and re-aired throughout the day on a multitude of awesome Roku platforms. We appreciate being on this portal and also on the Infinity Sports Network between the hours of 12 and 3 Eastern Time on 120 radio affiliates coast to coast, Sirius XM channel 375, Odyssey app, streaming live on that every single day. Our podcast listeners, hello to you. All 3 hours available on the Cumulus Podcast Network, where the latest edition of Overreaction Monday, fresh back from the Super Bowl, just recorded about a half an hour ago, is ready for you to listen to. The same thing, you can watch it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm great. How are you?
Good to see you, Jason Feller.
Hey,
how are you?
What's up, Rich? I'm great.
I know how you're feeling, TJ Jefferson.
I feel great.
I know. That's why I'm saying that.
The Lord blessed me and woke me up today, baby. Ain't nothing I can't handle.
Good to see you.
What's up, fellas?
Okay, everybody. Hey, listen.
Hey.
The Philadelphia Eagles are champions of the National Football League world, and they did it by beating the tar out of the two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. They took the Chiefs and their three-peat conversation and hopes, and they took the Chiefs, put them directly over their knee, and spanked them with it.
Took them to the woodshed.
That's what they did on Sunday night. And that's how we kick off our big game review presented by Nissan here on the Rich Eisen Show. With that very simple fact that the Kansas City Chiefs ran into a Kelly Green buzzsaw last night. And I understand the Chiefs' fatigue that's been hanging all over the country. People who suddenly had those symptoms, they get itchy watching Chiefs games. Or they began to have dark thoughts about league fixes and conspiracies and thumbs on the scale from the zebra, which the first call of the game by an official against the Eagles, an offensive pass interference call on A.J. Brown as the Eagles' opening drive wound up with a fourth down attempt from Nick Sirianni, a midfield roll of the dice that looked to have cashed in for the Eagles if it weren't for an offensive pass interference call that Tom Brady didn't like and Mike Pereira didn't like. And it started feeding into the narrative again, and you think, here it goes again. You know, with the Kansas City Chiefs in a big-time game with the whole country watching. And then the Eagles defense stepped on the field and got the ball back for the Eagles, who got an actual call from the officials that helped them and gutted the Chiefs, a personal foul penalty on the Chiefs, you know, for going high on Dallas Goedert. That Tom Brady didn't like that, and Pereira didn't like that, and you know, also didn't like that. Tinfoil hat wearing people who suffer from Chiefs fatigue, they needed to consult their doctor to see if Super Bowl 59 was going to be right for them. But the cure for Chiefs fatigue are the Philadelphia Eagles 2024 version. Because what they did last night, after all of that to start the game, was destroy the two-time defending world champs. And you could say at the top of their game, I understand different iterations of the Chiefs were difficult to beat or proved more difficult to beat. But what the Eagles did was take a two-time defending champ and dismantle them in front of the entire country and lay any sense of a competitive football game in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans to waste because they eviscerated the Chiefs' offensive line. All the flashbacks to the Patrick Mahomes loss to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in Tampa. All those flashbacks of Mahomes running for his life and having 0 seconds to think, let alone breathe, let alone to set up to find a receiver. That wasn't happening. It was just like that night in Tampa. The Eagles' defense was spectacular as they sacked Mahomes 6 times. That was the most ever in a game for Patrick Mahomes, who threw his first career playoff pick six in the second quarter when Josh Sweat, who had 2.5 sacks on his own, threw his left tackle into Patrick Mahomes, forcing a throw over the middle to Cooper DeJean, who returns it for 6 to make it 17-0. And then Sweat was the one who forced the interception to Zach Bond when the Chiefs thought maybe they could put points up before the end of the first half, down 17-0, because Cooper DeJean put one in the end zone and Mahomes' rush to throw it over the middle, and Bond picks that off, and the Chiefs watch the Eagles turn that into points to A.J. Brown with a touchdown. The Chiefs didn't cross midfield till 2:33 left in the third quarter. Per Elias, the Chiefs are the first team in Super Bowl history to not run a single offensive play in their opponent's territory in the first half. Mahomes led the Chiefs in rushing with 25 yards. Just 23 first half yards for the Chiefs. Fewest of any start in Patrick Mahomes' career. Only 4 catches for 39 yards for Travis Kelce. Fewest receptions and receiving yards in any of his 5 Super Bowl appearances. Just 1 first half first down for the Chiefs. That's tied for the fewest first downs and a half by any team in a game at all this year. And in the first half of a Super Bowl all time, they did that to Andy Reid's offense. They eviscerated them. Absolutely destroyed them. Lost the coin toss, watched the Chiefs get the first call from the refs, and said, screw it. We're the better team, and we're going to prove it. That's what happened last night. And then the Super Bowl MVP in Jalen Hurts took care of business when Saquon wasn't doing Saquon things. I proffer to say, if you told any Chiefs fan on a piece of paper with an opportunity to sign it, that all Barkley would have in this game was 57 rushing yards, averaging 2.3 yards per attempt. His longest rush would be 10 yards with not a single touchdown from scrimmage. You want to sign that piece of paper, Kansas City sports fans? You bet. Where's the notary? Where's the pen? Chiefs defense did its job in the first half last night. You could make that case. But who is the one not making the mistakes? Who is the one making every brilliant decision? Jalen freaking Hurts. That guy. He played a stupendous football game. Yes, an interception on his sheet. One that was a rushed throw. He did throw it. He did underthrow it. And it was an interception. And it was in a part of the game where you never know. Chiefs are still in this game when he threw that interception. And guess what? Turned into no points because the Eagles defense wasn't having any of it. And Hurts was not making any mistakes. And Sirianni was pushing the right buttons when to go for it on fourth down, or send Jake Elliott out there to just split the uprights from 29 and 48 and 48 and 50. And Hurts was not making the mistakes and running for it on third down and sliding and not taking the hit and finding A.J. Brown here and Goddard there and Devontae Smith for a touchdown. And slowly but surely, as the mistakes were getting made by the Chiefs instead of the Eagles, and the Eagles were turning those mistakes into points on the spot, Cooper DeJean, A.J. Brown, a couple snaps after Zach Bond makes the interception, and the Chiefs are getting desperate, and they go for it on fourth down, right when you think they have no chance anymore because time is running out and possessions are getting short. And there's still no points for them on the scoreboard. And they go for it with mere minutes to go in the third quarter. And it doesn't prove out. What do the Eagles do? They say, we're going for the kill shot. We're going to put it in Jalen Hurts' hands. He's going to fade back. And he's going to throw it to Devontae Smith. And we're going to wrap this puppy up. And they did it. 46 yards. Perfect throw. Hurts to Smith. Ball game. And that's when Bills fan extraordinaire Rich Eisen show coordinating producer, that's when he finally breathed a sigh of relief as a Chiefs fatigued Bills fan, that 34-0 in his mind was just enough to finally put a nail in Patrick Mahomes' three-peat coffin. And I thought when Cooper DeJean ran it back, enough crazy stuff was happening. I mean, a pick six from Mahomes in the Super Bowl, down 10-0. And then the Zach Bond interception, turning into points, 24-0. And then Seal shows up as a Seal. That was enough for me to say, this is a weird, wild, peyote-type night.
I like that commercial.
Okay? And so, you know, the Eagles did what they had to do, which is like, okay, Mahomes is the king of coming back. How about from 34 down? How about that? That should be enough. And it was. And what the Eagles have done is put themselves in position. I know you don't want to hear this, TJ, but I've got to say it. One of the most impressive seasons in the history of the National Football League. Hear me out. That's what the Eagles have put in front of us to have a conversation about. One of the most impressive seasons in the history of the National Football League. They won 18 games, including the playoffs. That's tied for the most wins by a team in a season, including the playoffs, matching the 18 win seasons of the 84 49ers, the 85 Bears, and the once upon a time going for history in the Super Bowl, but couldn't do it themselves, 2007 Patriots. The 40 points they put up, the 40 burger on the two-time defending champs by destroying them and eviscerating the trenches, were the most by a team in the Super Bowl since the Eagles scored 41 against the Patriots. They scored on 8 offensive drives
in Super Bowl 59. That's tied for the most in Super Bowl history. They scored 145 points in the postseason. That's the most by a team in a single postseason in the history of the NFL, surpassing the 94-49ers. The 94-49ers. And I'll tell you what, guys, and I know you don't want to hear this either, TJ, but I am sorry. With Saquon doing what he is doing, and what he did, he joined Terrell Davis, and Emmitt Smith is the only rushing leaders to win a Super Bowl. And you could take a look at what the Eagles did with a leading rusher and having a number one total defense and winning the Super Bowl. Okay? You have the leading rusher, you've got the leading tackler on your team, and you win the Super Bowl with just three losses on the season. Do you know the only other team to do that in the Super Bowl era? The 1992 Dallas Cowboys. Ooh. They had Emmitt Smith. They had Ken Norton Jr. They went 13-3 in the regular season, and they won the Super Bowl. They got Saquon Barkley. They've got Zach Bond, the leading tackler. They went 14-3, and they won the Super Bowl. That's how impressive they are. Number one pass defense, total defense, number one pass defense, number one rushing leader, who set the record for most rushing yards in a single season in Saquon Barkley. He is now joining the same guy who he just beat in that regard, Terrell Davis, as the only 2,000-yard club member to then go on and win the Super Bowl. And they've got the MVP in Jalen Hurts, and they have a stake in having one of the most impressive seasons in the history of the Super Bowl and the NFL. And the cherry on top it is they prevented the first ever three-peat attempt in the history of the Super Bowl. And it wasn't even close. They destroyed him. They destroyed him physically, mentally, every possible way. Defensively, offensively, special teams, they dominated. There wasn't a single moment they didn't dominate. They dominated. They were dominant, and they dominated, and they absolutely destroyed the two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, and you got to give it up to Philadelphia for that.
Yeah, you could see this early. It had the feel of the Bucs-Chiefs win.
100%. Mahomes was running for his life. Yeah. You never see him like that in very rare instances. And the Philadelphia Eagles are champions of the National Football League and deserve every possible kudo. And that was our big game review presented by Nissan. Built for the most rugged terrain, the all-new Nissan Armada Pro 4X gives you the freedom to explore further, because going big never goes out of style. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Our friend Mark Schlereth, kind enough to rejoin us. I thought of him. I'm like, let's get him, because who knows better about breaking down what broke down for the Chiefs last night. This guy knows trench play. He knows line play. And that was the key to this game. Mark Schlereth, a man who also knows about putting rings on his fingers and backing it up, when we come back on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006, because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions, so you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits, so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. with the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. So the first moment that you realized things weren't going to go the Chiefs' way was when? Cooper DeJean pick six?
At the pick six, you're like, whoa, this really has a feel of something we haven't seen in quite some time. Even they showed Andy Reid on the sideline, and he kind of looked bewildered a little bit. Maybe he knew at that point, too. But then there was still, like, what, 7-8 minutes left in the second quarter?
Hold on a minute. Let me get that time
here. They were getting the ball. They could have scored.
Yeah, it was midway through the second quarter. 7:03 to go.
And they got the ball to start the half. So you're like, man, they can get some points here, points there. Maybe it's 17-10.
Right.
Still a ball game. You know, they've done that the last 2 years.
What about you, TJ? When it first dawned up, when was that moment for you where you're like, okay, this is...
I think even at 17-dot, I was still thinking... They're fine. You know, I figured going into halftime, I'm like, I remember the one drive. I'm like, look, all they need is 3 points here. Let them get to 17-3. We still got a game. And I think that ended with, I think that was the drive that D-Hop may have dropped that pass.
Yeah, wow. I just thought that was.
And I thought that was the moment because those things never happened to the Chiefs, right? And when that happened, I think I was kind of resigned to the fact that I don't think this is going to go.
And then Josh Sweat created another problem up front, and Mahomes threw it, you know, awkwardly. And Zach Bond made a great play, by the way.
Yeah. And Rich,
how many of those could get dropped? Certainly by a middle linebacker, right?
Right.
And I know when we were given our keys to the game, I believe on Thursday, I said it was going to come down to the line of scrimmage. Could the Eagles rattle Mahomes? Could the Chiefs stop Saquon? Well, both lines of scrimmage.
Yes and yes.
But what that Eagles front four did was, I mean, you know, I wasn't rooting for him, but as a football fan, that was impressive.
Yeah, according to Next Gen stats, Mahomes wasn't blitzed on any of his 42 dropbacks.
Yeah.
They did it without blitzing. It was the first game of Mahomes' career where he wasn't blitzed.
That was so impressive. To get a four-man rush like that, six sacks, and hit him on multiple plays, have him scrambling and running around. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I think the smoke came with DeJean, and the fire came with Bond.
Yep.
When you're like, okay, this is different. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This man has multiple Super Bowl rings, and he knows the trenches very well. From Fox Sports, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Perfect guest for a day like today. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Your impression of the line play last night, Mark Schlereth?
Well, one thing that doesn't go in and out of vogue, doesn't go in and out of style. You know, I get this all the time on social media. Hey, you old head, the game has changed. Now, listen, if you whoop that ass up front, you're going to win a lot of football games. And that ass got whooped front. The Philadelphia Eagles laid in and laid the wood to the Kansas City Chiefs on both sides of the ball. And I don't want to hear about, well, Saquon, they held Saquon. He only had 2.3 yards per carry. Man, kudos to the coaching staff. Kudos to Kellen Moore for calling the game, because 25 carries, averaging 2.3 yards per carry. Most offensive coordinators in that situation, they can't wait to give up on the run. They can't wait to stop running the football. They can't wait to throw it 50 times a game. And yet they stayed true to it. 25 carries, only 57 yards. Saquon caught the ball out of the backfield. But what I love about Saquon, does the dirty work when the ball's not in his hand. Had a couple of big time blitz pickups. And then that defensive line, Rich, was something special. Just absolutely collapsed in the pocket. The game's attacking protections. And this is something we've seen Spags do a lot in Kansas City. Attack protections. Well, we saw it with Vic Fangio, knowing exactly where the slide is going, knowing exactly where they're trying to protect, and coming from the opposite side and just collapsing that protection. It was just a magnificent job by the Philadelphia Eagles. And like I said, they whooped that ass.
Well, when you are watching a game and obviously have that keen sense of what to look at up front, when did you realize this thing was going to be sliding away from the Chiefs? When did that finally dawn on you where you're like, oh, I don't know if they have the personnel here to deal with what's coming at them right now, Mark?
Well, you know, one of my keys to the game, I had two keys to the game. One was attempts by Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Not yardage, but attempts.
Okay.
And they were able to do that because it sets up your play action, gives you an opportunity for your quarterback to scramble, does all those things, give you one-on-one access to the outside. Anytime you get a lot of attempts and you're running the ball effectively, not for a lot of yards per carry, but effectively, you're going to get a lot of one-on-one outside kind of access throws. So they were able to do that during the course of that game. The other thing on the defensive side of the ball that I thought was going to be really, like, really important, not just, you know, the pressure and all those things that we talk about all the time, but it was really, to me, about creating an opportunity where you actually invited Kansas City to run the football. Just invite them to run it. Because it's hubris. And we go back to the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay where they could have run it for 7-8 yards a carry and they just chose not to. And in that particular game, they got – I mean, obviously the score was lopsided early, but that's not an excuse. You know, I always think about when you break the huddle, what slows down a pass rush? Well, running the ball slows down a pass rush, right? Hey, set a guy up, trap him inside, let him rush up the field like he's going to sack the quarterback, go hit him in the teeth. Like, there's a couple of things that you can do to really slow and mitigate that pass rush. And the Chiefs never, ever did it. They never adjusted. They never had another plan. Mahomes was under duress all night. And it was one of those games where Mahomes was sped up in the pocket. So you're trying to get through progression so fast because the pass rush is so fierce that you're ready to throw the ball before the receivers come out of their breaks. And then everything in the passing game is off. And we saw that all night long. It was completely off throughout the entirety of the night. And this Philadelphia Eagles team just, boy, I tell you what, that was a clinic. They were dominant.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I know you're absolutely right, you know. Line play, that's it, and the trenches. And clearly, we can talk about weaponry and the quarterback-driven league, but I call it all out the window if it can't be protected. And so I know Howie Roseman's all about the line. You know, let's get these big 360-pound dudes who can move. Let's find them. Or 400-pound guys and have them lose weight like Mekhi Becton and move them, right? And then just keep drafting these kids from Georgia or all these other kids, and let's get BG back out there, the old guys, and let's go hunt. And I'm just wondering here, like, is this a blueprint just in general? Or do you think that maybe the rest of the AFC will start looking at this and go, this is the way that we're beating Patrick Mahomes. We're going to get to the Super Bowl. To heck with this. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a blueprint. There's no question, but it's one that's very hard.
Why?
You know, to put together.
Why?
Well, it's just because they have been doing it for a while. They've been building their team this way for a while. So they're just adding to the pieces. I'll give you a great example.
Sure.
So a couple of years ago, the Philadelphia Eagles had the best offensive line in football. And you know what they did? They had Jason Kelce, who is an all-pro Hall of Fame center, right? And you know what they did? In his heyday, and he's still got, you know, he's still playing and still playing at a really high level. They draft a guy named Cam Jurgens in the second round out of Nebraska. Did they need him? No, they didn't. Jason was still going to play another 3 or 4 years. But what did they do? They drafted him anyhow. They added to a position of strength. They ended up having him play guard, having him get tutored by Jason Kelce, and then he moves into center seamlessly and is an all-pro type of player at that position. And so, you know, a lot of teams suffer because they neglect positions of strength. And they say, hey, that's a position of strength. Let's go chase this receiver. Let's go chase that guy. Oh, man, we need more weapons. We need weapons. We need weapons. Let's chase. Let's do this. You know what? The Philadelphia Eagles go, no, 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 no. Let's take care of the line of scrimmage. Let's dominate the line of scrimmage and let's add to our line of scrimmage health. And you know what? When guys get hurt or guys get, guys retire, whatever the case may be, the next dude is ready to step up and he's been developed over a couple of years. He's just not thrown into the fire. And so it's easy to say, hey, there's the blueprint, but it's really hard for teams to have actually go about doing it because they get enamored by workouts. They get enamored by 40 times. They get enamored by things that don't matter. And that's why the draft, and that's why, you know, the procurement of your football team is such a difficult thing. And it takes discipline and it takes understanding to actually, you know, attack it that way. And so a lot of teams will see it as a blueprint, but a lot of teams, most teams don't have the intestinal fortitude to actually go out and execute it.
Well, it seems like the Ravens could, or they are, right? I mean, so give me sure. The teams that are already, I mean, we could go down the list here, obviously. Bills within the own division, you know, Harbaugh, the Jim, is somebody who's going to be hitting the head. That's the first thing he did with having Rashawn Slater is go ahead and, you know, and take Alt fifth overall anyway. Right. So that's what I'm trying to identify the AFC teams that can look at what the Eagles did and say, let's do this ourselves here, or let's build the same damn thing. We're already there, or we're on our way. Like, give me some ideas here.
Right. Yeah. Think? Well, I mean, you're talking about, like, obviously what the Eagles were able to do, and they lost some guys, but Sweat was there, and you mentioned BG Graham was there, and then they infused that, you know, young talent on the inside and all those different things. But I'm with you with the Chargers. That makes sense to me. Like, the Chargers understand that. Jim Harbaugh understands that.
Your guy Peyton in the Broncos, right? I mean, you already got the defensive side of the ball going in that direction. You got the defensive player of the year cutting off half the field too, right? I mean,
and then you've got to make sure that you understand, like, where we want to go and be right. And one thing about Sean Payton, I will say this, Sean Payton is historically has done a really good job of identifying with his other people, you know, George Payton over there as a GM, but identifying kind of what they want, where, what kind of player they want. I think that's another thing, Rich, that's so important about building a team. It's also understanding, it's like San Francisco does a great job of understanding what they want at the linebacker position. And then everybody they go after and draft, they can all run. They're all kind of built the same way. They're all like, hey man, here's the prototypical guy. Right. And they fill that in, and every guy looks the same, whether it's Al Shire when he was there, whether it's Greenlaw, it's all those guys kind of look and have that same athletic trait and that same athletic ability. I think that's one of the things to really understand what we are, what we want at each individual position. And then we go after that and plug in football players. I always say this about the draft and about, you know, free agency in general, is that football is really hard for athletes. It's easy for football players. And the problem with a lot of teams in the draft is they get enamored by athletes. And, you know, and I'm fascinated by football players, and it's easy to tell the difference on film.
You know, I love conversations like this here. I got Mark Schlereth for a few more minutes here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess let's go down the road here too. With the Eagles, this is sustainable, right? I mean, like, they're young. Jalen Hurts is going to be 27 on day one, snap one, on the first Thursday night of the season at the Banner Raise in Philadelphia. Saquon is emerging from this season healthy into the offseason. All those guys up front who are dominating, none of them other than BG are old heads, right? I mean, so those kids on the back end, I mean, holy crap, Mark. What do you think? Is this a potential repeat customer? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, right now they've got the best odds to repeat, to be back to the Super Bowl, so they've got the best odds. But, I think all those things you said are true. They're physically, they're a dominant football team. You know, they've got a few guys they have to address, but the bottom line is they're young, they're physical, and you know what? And I trust the way they've been built. You know, I tell you, man, I was watching the NFC Championship game. And in the NFC Championship game, you know, Cam Jurgens has a back injury, right?
That's right. Yes. Oh, yes.
And so Cam Jurgens is like, oh, I can't go, man. I gotta sit. So they slide
Dickinson.
They slide Landon Dickerson inside.
Yeah, Dickerson.
And then they bring somebody off the bench I'd never even heard of, Rich. And I'm like, I'm watching the film. I'm like, damn, this guy's dispensing justice. I don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
And like, that's how they're built. And so, you know, I trust that they've got defensive linemen chomping at the bit, other linebackers chomping at the bit. Come on, man. They lost they lost some guys along the way at the linebacker position. Everybody just stepped in and played their butts off. You know, N'Kobe Dean goes down, right? They had a couple other injuries along the way. And I tell you what, they've been exceptionally well coached. Here's the other thing. Yes. It was interesting. In Miami, how two teams are built differently. In Philadelphia, it's all about the defensive and offensive lines, right? It's all about controlling line of scrimmage. In Philadelphia, where do you spend all your assets? Hey, Robert Hunt, one of the best guards in football. Hey, we don't want to pay him. He goes to Carolina. But we'll pay all these wide receivers, right? Because it's all about the weaponry. And where are these two teams? And, oh, by the way, speaking of Miami, didn't Vic Fangio get dumped by Miami because, you know, he's too old and he doesn't relate to today's younger player? Man, maybe he just doesn't relate to guys who don't want to be great football players. Maybe he doesn't relate to guys that, you know, want to go down to South Beach, because it looked like he related to those defensive players and those young defensive players the Philadelphia Eagles had as DeJean was taking one to the house and Mitchell was playing his ass off. So I don't know. Maybe it's the area of the country that you play in.
Yeah, and it looks like maybe Sirianni's got his spags, right? I mean, and in the same way that Reed has his spags, Sirianni's got his Fangio now. And I know that Kellen Moore's going to probably, I don't know, maybe the if you listen hard enough, that's Jeff Lurie telling Kellen Moore to kind of McDaniels his way out of New Orleans and maybe Ben Johnson his way back to stay the OC. I don't know, because run it back is what Sirianni said. I know Kellen Moore's got probably bigger jobs on his mind potentially. I don't know, but right? I mean, because this is there for the taking. It kind of feels that way.
Yeah, Mark? It definitely feels like you've got a chance to run it back. And I understand there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the National Football League, and they're all big jobs and they're all good jobs because there's only 32 of them.
Right.
But 100%. Here's the other thing that's impressive. You know, I don't think we give Sirianni enough credit for what he has been able to do there. I mean, think about this, the humility it takes to sit there in your first year and go, you know what, we're 2-5 and I'm not doing a very good job of calling plays, even though I'm game planning and doing all that stuff. I'm going to turn that play calling over to Steichen and let him call plays and become the CEO of this football team and manage the entirety of the football team. And, you know, to lose coordinators, Jonathan Gannon goes to Arizona. Let me go get Fangio. Hey man, you know, it's one coordinator to another coordinator, you know, to now Kellen Moore. Oh, by the way, Kellen Moore has been known as a passing coordinator type of guy in his time in this league. Hey, you know what? That's not how we're built. We're going to run the snot out of the ball. So I want you to morph into this type of play caller, right? I want you to morph into, you know, a guy that we're only averaging 2.3 yards per carry, but you still give it to the back 25 times. It takes a certain guy with a certain intestinal fortitude and an ability to manage people and to develop relationships and do all those things. And I think Nick Sirianni has done a hell of a job coaching. And so, you know, I just want to give that guy the credit that he probably deserves and doesn't get very often.
Yeah, let me add on to that here, Mark, because we forget that when Sirianni took the gig, it was after that weird final game of Doug Peterson's stay where Hurts, after getting the job reluctantly over Carson Wentz, gets yanked in the last game of the season, benched for Nate Sudfeld because they wanted to see what they had in Sudfeld or whatever that was. I don't know what the hell was going on behind the scenes, but Sirianni came in and full-throated supported Jalen Hurts. Remember he wore like a Jalen Hurts t-shirt? And full-throated said, this is the guy. And now look at him. They've been to two Super Bowls together, and Hurts is the Super Bowl MVP. And that doesn't happen without whatever Sirianni was saying behind the scenes or kind of, and I know their relationship has a lot of question marks about it since then, but we are here where we are because of whatever the hell was going on back then. I don't know. I'd love to know.
Rich, every guy, they talked about the unity of that team and how connected they are. And Sirianni talked about, you know, it's like all 53 guys together and all the things that he said. And I've been in that facility a bunch. I've done a bunch of Philly games over the last several years.
Yeah.
And there is, every time I go in there, man, Sirianni's got, you know, a Jalen Hurts t-shirt on or an O-line t-shirt on that he makes for the team, right? Based upon the way they play it or whatever. And it's like this big thing. And then other guys are making t-shirts, you know, like they're all wearing each other's. They're all like their biggest fan club. And I just think there's so much about the atmosphere and so much about the leadership of men and so much about the relational aspect of this game that you have to have. And I always say this, the key to championships is sacrifice and understanding that I can't have success individual unless we have success together as a group. And you know, great things happen when you don't care who gets the credit. And the only way you can win a championship, in my mind, is when you can be sacrificial, when you can put others ahead of yourself. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, this run, they've displayed that exceptionally well. And it's really, to me, it's really a cool thing to see.
Last one for you, Mark, before I let you go, since you were one of the guys who blocked for Terrell Davis in what was, and as many parts in this world, this considered the greatest single season by a running back ever in terms of the yards gained and in terms of winning it all and in terms of being a 2,000 yard rusher. And, you know, I know Saquon didn't win Super Bowl MVP, but do you think this is the greatest single season by a running back ever, what we just saw, Mark?
Yeah, I think it is obviously from a running yardage total, but also just the impact that guy made on his football team. Man, there are guys, Rich, in a locker room that are connective tissue. They're just connective tissue. And in a locker room, it's not segregated, but it is compartmentalized. There are times where I might not bump into a DB for 2 months where I don't ever talk to a guy or really see a guy or connect with a guy. And then there are certain guys within a locker room that just are that connective tissue that connect the defense to the offense, the special teams to, you know, the offense or the defense. And I feel like Saquon is that guy. And I will tell you, I talked about celebrating others' success like it's your own. And I think that is so important. And I'll go back all the way back to, was it the NFC Championship game where Saquon is out and Shipley busts one for about 70 yards? And you know who the first guy on that field off the sideline was celebrating Shipley like he just did it? Was Saquon. He comes screaming off the sideline to jump into his arms and celebrate that long run. And I was like, man, that's special. A lot of guys in that situation are sitting over on the bench, you know, thinking about what a great game they had and about the 60 yarder they took off on the first run and not even paying attention. And he's still out of the game. The game's a wrap. They're up. They've scored 55 points on Washington. And man, he's dialed into that game like he was playing. And he sees his backup, Shipley, take one for, you know, 70 yards. And he can't wait to jump off the sideline and sprint onto the field to celebrate the guy. Like, that stuff is special and it matters. And we saw it last night.
Was TD that guy for you? Was he that connective tissue guy in that season that we're talking about him, Saquon potentially eclipsing here?
TD was connective in that we all wanted that record for TD so much, and he's one of the great people. He's just one of the great people. You know TD well. Yes. So he's just one of the great people you will ever meet in your entire life. But there's a couple guys that connected the locker room. Like Keith Burns was one of the best connective tissue guys. He was a special teams player for us. I'm not saying that TD wasn't connective tissue that way, but TD, we all rallied around TD because we wanted to see one of the greatest humans on the planet have 2,000 yards. We wanted to see that stuff happen for TD.
You're the best, Mark. Thanks for doing this. Greatly appreciate it. Look for more of my calls and Zooms and all that stuff and texts during the combine draft and all that good stuff.
Anytime, Rich. You know it.
You're the best, buddy. You got it. Stinkin' Truth Podcast with Mark Schlereth. That's Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's get a sports update now from Andrew Bogish here on the Rich Eisen Show and the Infinity Sports Network.
Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a five-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
It's winter, and you can now get almost anything you need for the coldest months of the year delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a ski slope delivered, but you can get dish soap delivered. Sunshine, that's a no. But a bottle of wine, that's a yes. A snow angel, sorry, no. But angel hair pasta, Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Philadelphia Eagles, we have that to talk about, too.
Yes, as I'm draped
in
my Eagles paraphernalia.
Now, that's like you got the green hoodie.
Yeah, I went green hoodie, and then I went satin black jacket
with the
black eagle on it. This is subtle.
This is subtle.
I didn't want to come here and be blatant with it. This is a subtle.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. It's sort of like a watermark sort of situation that you have right there.
But then you get up close, and you're like, whoa, he really is an Eagles fan. He's got a lot.
Yes.
He's got a lot of Eagles stuff on. I'm wearing a jersey to the Super Bowl with the Jerome Brown patch.
That's what you're going to do?
Yes.
Okay.
I got the Randall Cunningham jersey, but my jersey has a Jerome Brown patch.
Well, what will it say on the back? Will it say heart? Will it say your name?
No, it's going to say Cunningham. It's a real jersey.
Okay.
I can't make it say heart. I'm no longer authentic if I make it say heart. It's got to be a real jersey. This is a real moment.
I understand.
It's a big moment for me, man.
This is it.
It's a big game.
What do you think?
What do you mean, what do I think? The score's going to be 83-6. I called it. I put my prediction out there a long time ago.
Okay.
I had a dream. I saw it.
And how many touchdowns then for Nick Foles then out of that?
Nick Foles going to throw for 32 touchdowns. 32.
I'm trying to do the math in my head right now.
32 touchdowns.
Yeah, that is. We just put
I didn't want to show.
83-6.
Yeah, I didn't want to show if my math was good or bad, and that's why I just threw a number out there. I think I'm in the ballpark. Here's what people need to understand about the Patriots right now. And I know that there's a lot of New England Patriots fans. There's a lot of Tom Brady lovers out there, as you should, okay? They're not running over the NFL. They didn't breeze through these playoffs. They shouldn't have beaten the Jaguars. They shouldn't have. They did, but they shouldn't have. It's not like they have displayed this, oh my God, they're just, nobody's going to be able to deal with them. Our defense has been an amazing defense throughout the whole season. I really see our defense and our front four getting to Brady. If we get to Brady, it's going to be a problem. And we run the ball very well. It's going to be a grinding game. And Foles is going into this game with so much confidence. After the last game, he's got so much confidence. I don't care what you say, you can't beat confidence. You know how much confidence I have? You can't beat my confidence. I don't care what you tell me. I'm so confident. Foles has confidence. Our defense has confidence. We are here. This is where we said we would be in the beginning of the season, and we got here. That's confidence. They're used to being here. That's cocky. That's a little nonchalant shoulder shrug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same type of confidence. It's not the same type of hunger. It's a different level of hunger. And these dogs got to eat. Get it, because they was calling us underdogs.
Yes, I know. I was part of the reason why I wanted to stick around for the trophy ceremony last night to see if he would crash it again.
It was quick, too.
Terry Bradshaw got up there, told Jeffrey Lurie, I'm not giving you this microphone, by the way. Did you think of the Dan Patrick conversation we had with Dan last week?
I always think about that when I see these trophy presentations.
But Dan said Jeff Lurie was in particular very, very handsy with the microphone. You know, and there he is holding the trophy with both hands, man. Unbelievable. They did it again. But no Kevin Hart last night.
No Kevin Hart. They Gatorade bath Sirianni with 2 minutes and 52 seconds left. That's got to be a record.
What was the color? Was it clear?
It was yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So whoever had yellow.
Yeah, well, it was plus 280, Rich.
How about that? I had no idea. What a yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have all in common? If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you'd be right-ish. The real right answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. And the best part, you don't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll be picking up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up through a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. Terzo in Iowa, one of our regulars. First in, first up. What's up, Terzo? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Rich. Hey, man, last week that was one of the best shows that you guys have done.
Thanks.
Your guest list was awesome, man.
Appreciate it.
But
a lot of hardworking people put that together.
You guys don't like oysters.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Wait, that's what was your takeaway?
That was your takeaway of Super Bowl week, huh? Wow, that's impressive.
Well, that one kind of stuck out to me. It really did, for whatever reason. I kind of figured you'd be an oyster guy, Rich. I don't know.
No, I'm not. You know what? A lot of people read good things into me, and I'm just let you down. You know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you.
You never let me down, Rich.
Thanks,
that was
pal.
A heck of a game. I want to give a shout out to my man Cooper DeJean. I've been speaking high praise of him all year. Happy to see the Iowa boy get a pick six.
Man.
That was pretty neat.
Unbelievable. Thanks for the call, Terzo. It's Terzo in Iowa. Derek in Missouri, another one of our regulars. Let's get you in here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. I gotta say, I really, really enjoyed your shows down in New Orleans this past week. I want to have a little quick moment with Brockman for a second, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Brockman, you mentioned the last several weeks that you believe that Champ Bailey fumbled through the end zone in that divisional game in 05.
Uh-oh.
Not from where I was today, my friend. Just telling you right now, you got Ryan told
we can look at the replay.
Ago, you gotta move on.
I will never move on from that play.
Derek, you're the one bringing it up.
I don't know why you brought it up. I thought you were going to talk about me doing a victory lap today for saying, you know, the Chiefs were just so-so all year.
No, boy.
I was going to say, if anything, that game yesterday pretty much solidified a lot of so-called Chiefs fans around here that went back into hibernation after that beatdown they took yesterday. I got to say, the Eagles just showed their due diligence. They were just a better complete team right from the get-go. And for me, Rich... I don't think it had anything to do with, for me, it wasn't the Cooper DeJean pick six or the Devontae Smith touchdown in the third quarter. For me, it felt like it was the Pat Mahomes pick interception to Zach Bond that really started showing that they were going down the tubes.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for the call, Derek. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was 17-0 there, and the Chiefs actually got an empty possession out of the Eagles' offense, got the ball back, and with a minute and 50 to go and two timeouts, and you're like, okay, even if they get three here, don't forget, when they were down 10 in Super Bowl 57, second half hit, they scored a touchdown, then they scored another touchdown. And instead of that rematerializing, yet another pass rush led to Mahomes having to rush a throw, and he threw an interception to Bond, and then a couple snaps later, touchdown to A.J. Brown, 24-0, and then that was really on. Hour number two coming up.
And that was after Brown and Sirianni were kind of having words on the sideline the series before. And everyone's like, whoa, what's going on there? But got his touchdown.
Mm-hmm. So pretty unbelievable. Pretty damn unbelievable.
And I'm watching the clip right now. Like, Champ Bailey gets hit at the one, and the ball goes flying through the end zone, and they call it a touchdown. What are we doing?
This guy. Listen.
I don't remember that play.
Listen.
I think about that play every day.
I can feel it.
Listen, pal. And that's what I appreciated with Brady last night. Brady last night talking about losing the Super Bowl.
He said he thought about the losses,
dude,
more than the wins.
When Tom Brady opened his mouth last night to say anything about what it was like to play in the Super Bowl, I was just like, go on. You know, like, go on. Just tell me any insight.
Yeah, tell me more.
And that's why I was kind of surprised they didn't bring up right off the bat coming out of halftime with the score being 24-0. Like, hey, Tom, you were down 28-3. How did you dig out from that one specifically? Especially since I was strolling around the town in New Orleans, I saw multiple signs or flags that were made up specifically in a flag store.
Oh, yeah.
Of the graphic, the 28-3 graphic that Patriots fans wear as a T-shirt, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was 21-3 at halftime in that Super Bowl.
Right, but it was 28-3, right?
Right.
And so Saints fans are trolling at Falcons fans at a Super Bowl that neither team's in. But at any rate, I was stunned. Like, hey, Tom, you were down 28-3. What was it like then? How do you dig out of this thing? They did ask him, how do you dig out of this thing? But not specifically through the prison of 28-3. But anytime he could tell me, this is what it was like in the Super Bowl. I played in 10 of these. It's not flexing. He's just the only human can do it.
He did mention the 10, though.
Yeah, but it's not a flex, just like
him. I know, but he said it's so matter-of-fact. Yeah, I made a comment. I was like, you hear how he said that.
It's the biggest game this sport can have, and he's got a history in it unlike any other human being. And then Nick Foles just jumping in, trolling at the very end. You see, he posted, it's really cool that Tom Brady got to be there for the Eagles' 2 Super Bowl wins. He might be a good luck charm. Have a great night. Sweet Nick Foles from the top rope.
Pretty funny.
Oh, all right.
Pretty funny.
Kind of got to give it up to him.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast Network is your home, get it? For real estate investing.
I am very tired of people saying that your primary residence is not an investment.
Get real talk from real estate pros about investing strategies that work.
I bought a house for $1 and it makes me $1 million.
You can become a real estate millionaire over the course of like 5 or 6 years.
No one needs a stock. No one needs cryptocurrency. They need a house.
Bigger Pockets. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.